Think big. Think positive. Never show any sign of weakness. Always go for the throat. Buy low, sell high. Fear, that's the other guy's problem. Nothing you have ever experienced can prepare you for the unbridled carnage you're about to witness. Right. Super Bowl, the World Series, they don't know what pressure is. In this building, it's either kill or be killed. Right. You make no friends in the pits and you take no prisoners.
No prisoners.
1 minute, you're up half a million in soybeans, and the next, boom, your kids don't go to college and they've repossessed your Bentley. Are you with me?
Hello and welcome to Turner's Take Podcast. I'm your host, Greg Turner, author of Turner's Take Newsletter. We also have the Market Alert newsletter we have for clients here that goes over our spec ideas, and Turner's Take Ag Marketing for Farmers. All my contact information is in the show notes. Whether you're an online trader, or broker-assisted, spec, or hedge, we have something for you here, so go ahead and check us out. Or go to turnerstake.com. Your spec trader, if you're in the farm or agriculture or grain trader, you can go to turnerstakeag.com and read more about us there. So let's, I was out of the office Monday and Tuesday. Ended up being put together a late trip my wife did at the end of last week. So I didn't know I was going to be out Monday and Tuesday, but we spent a couple of days in Wisconsin with the family. So I'm back in the office today. I've got a little bit of a cough, so I might make this podcast short. I don't think I could talk for 20 minutes straight. But let's go through, and I'm going to try to do one on Friday after the WASD. So let's talk about a few key things in the grain markets, what we're looking at, and then address the WASD a little bit. So on grains, and also I would just say commodities in general, there's been a lot, we're hearing that there's a lot of headway being made on NAFTA. We're seeing that in the financial press, but also, you know, we work with a lot of farmers here at Daniels Trading. I personally work with a lot of farmers here, and quite a few of them on their state board associations, whether it be, you know, state, at the state board with Corn Growers Association, or the American Soybeans, or the wheat. And what we're hearing is that the lobbyist groups, the powers that be on the national groups, are very confident something is going to get done with NAFTA. So we took a closer look into this. It looks like the U.S. and Mexico is really trying to hammer things out right now. Last big hurdle is going to be what to do with cars and manufacturing, but that's expected to get the United States and Mexican representatives are meeting now for 3 weeks in Washington, and from all accounts, that's very positive. As soon as that's done, the U.S. and Canada need to settle out some of their differences on dairy and a few other things, mostly agriculture, I believe. Then all three countries can sit down and talk about basically subjects like, is there going to be a sunset clause in NAFTA? I know the U.S. wants to have it renegotiated or re-reviewed every 5 or so years. You know, what happens there? And also, there was it sounds like they want to have some kind of arbitration panel. Like, if there's a dispute, you know, what happens? You know, is there some kind of like arbitration, like you see in sports leagues or whatever it may be? But it sounds like there's going to be some kind of mechanism. So if there is an issue going forward, something that's unforeseen that pops up a couple of years down the road, there now is some kind of panel or group or process that, you know, they can work things out. So all sounds very positive. I would not be surprised if something by the end of the summer gets done with NAFTA. That would be good for hogs. That would be good for grain, especially corn. I think that would be good for corn and hogs. And that's what we'll be keeping an eye on. I think once that's done, the U.S., and this is my personal opinion, my speculation, U.S. starts to work with the European Union. Now, I know they had that Paris conference a couple of weeks ago, and they said we're going to get things done, and it was about, president mentioned soybeans like 5 times in that press conference. But I think what the U.S. needs to do, is basically work on the trade from what's closest to home and then start to spread out. So NAFTA makes sense first, then the EU. Maybe geographically it's, you know, from the Pacific West Coast to China could be the same as going from New York to Germany, but we're pretty close to it. But I think, you know, just between the common political systems and economies, and the allies in NATO, it makes a lot of sense then for the United States and the EU to work on something, which I'm sure they will. It's probably in everyone's best interest. And along the way, again, my own speculation and theory here, but along the way, I can see behind closed doors, the United States says to Mexico and Canada, hey, we're going to get all these things done. Just so you know, there's going to be some tough talk with China down the road, and it's going to benefit all of us mostly. And I bet it's going to be about IP, intellectual property. And then they're going to have talks with Europe, and they're probably going to have the same things behind closed doors and say, hey, we're going to work out, you know, these deals, and just so you know, it's going to, you know, the last one's with China, and when push comes to shove, this is what's going to happen, and it's going to center around intellectual property. And then once, I wouldn't be surprised if the European, I would think NAFTA gets done this summer, I think the European Union stuff gets done by midterms, and then China probably happens after midterms, and when the United States goes to the table with China to try to work out things, they're going to have deals done with NAFTA, they're going to have redone deals with the European Union, and they're going to probably try to isolate China as much as possible. That's probably how it goes, and it probably all centers around intellectual property. And I know I've talked a lot of that before. So I think that's what the game plan is between now and the end of the year. I think as these deals get done, it'll be beneficial for the economy and commodities. I think corn benefits the most from NAFTA, so do hogs. Europe will be interesting with the Europeans is, do we get something really concrete done now with natural gas and liquefied natural gas going out to Europe? And does Europe really buy more soybeans from the United States or find uses for more soybeans? That'll be interesting. And then when the China comes around, what really happens there with the soybean market? So that's what we're looking at. In terms of... Okay, so that's one thing. The next thing is the WASDE. Let's go over the WASDE real quick. Again, the next podcast is going to focus on what actually is said in the WASDE. But, you know, if you look at the charts here, we're seeing some resistance in corn, soybeans, and wheat. Find it hard to see all three of them break out from current levels between now and the WASDE. I would think that you may see a little profit taking because the markets have come up so much. That would not be out of the norm at all. And that's what I would think would happen. When the WASDE does come out, I think, let's go through each of the three major commodities. Corn, what we're looking at is probably higher yields. The trade's looking for 176. The trend line's 174. I don't think that's unreasonable. I think going to 176 makes sense, given what things look out in the country. I don't think we're anywhere near the 180s that we heard about a couple months ago. I don't even think there's too many problems popping around the country to even really think 178's in the cards. But who knows? 176, that's what I think the USDA does. That's what the trade thinks. A lot of us are also thinking the USDA has to increase exports, just because export demands have been so good. The production problems we had in South America, the production problems that, you know, we're going to probably expecting to have in Europe and the Ukraine now after what's going on with the wheat and the weather there. So that should be beneficial for corn. We're also now hearing about dryness in China. So corn exports should be strong, I would assume, for even though the, you know, I could see a build in corn stocks. But some of that, you know, from improving yield to 2 bushels per acre, you would think some of that build in the ending stocks would be negated by a higher export. Maybe not totally, you know, one for one, but enough to put a dent in it. So I think it's going to be a neutral report for corn and on Friday, and then, you know, then we'll start going trading weather. Again, well, actually kind of more weather for soybeans now than corn, but it's going to, you know, we're probably going to hear more about corn stress, you know, finishing, how corn finishes up in the, basically, especially farther up north. And I would think, I don't know, I would think good to excellent ratings can still come down a little bit, and you know, corn gets supported here. I would not be shocked to see corn at $4 sometime between now and the end of the year. So we are neutral to bullish on corn. I'm actually more bullish than anything else. But we'll just have to see how things go here. See what the WASDE says. For let's switch up to wheat. For wheat, it's going to be difficult for the markets to break through these, you know, these most recent highs without a real confirmation of what exactly the crop losses are in Europe. But plus, a whole big thing is what's going on with the commercials and the millers, and how much, you know, how much wheat are they short bought? And you know, right now we're seeing a lot of cash wheat prices continue going higher. Now, one way that the wheat market really takes off, and I mean really takes off like 50 cents to a dollar higher, is something happens with, let's say, Russia or Ukraine, and they start to make limit exports or in some way, shape, or form. And that has happened in years where they've had shortages because of drought in those areas. I would not be shocked if there is some Russia and Ukraine have to figure out some way to limit the exports. And that's when, if that does happen, you know, that's when wheat really takes off. That's when the wheat spreads also take off. And we've been talking a lot about bull spreads, old crop, new crop, in wheat too. But that's going to, I don't think the WASD is going to have a big deal on that. I mean, it'll be interesting to see what they think about world production. They'll probably comment what's going on with Europe. But what really would send, what probably really sends wheat higher is if it's gonna be something like the head fake we saw a couple of weeks ago, where that fake news story came out about Ukraine putting a tax or limiting exports or something like that. But that the reason why the market responded to it so fast and bought into it, because it's the kind of situation that happens usually in times like this. So I don't know. We'll see what happens there. U.S. Soft red winter wheat out of the Gulf is now the world's cheapest wheat, which is good for exports. And this is why the market was going up. You know, exports have been lagging behind, but the idea was as the you know, as their problems right now, they're serious weather problems for John Australia, parts of Asia, and in Europe. So you know, Northern Europe, Ukraine, Russia, Australia, it's a big deal, and we'll just have to keep an eye on wheat as the wheat charge is higher. We'll have to see what happens with corn. It's going to be interesting too if we keep sun charging higher here. I'm hearing, and if soybeans keep on staying low, and I'll get to soybeans in a second, we could see more wheat acres next year, and it'd be at the expense of soybeans or more double crop. You know, what we've seen in past years of wheat farmers just stop planting wheat altogether and then soybeans. Or if they were double cropping wheat and soybeans, they got rid of the wheat and just did the soybeans and went to a longer variety, a longer seasonal. You know, with wheat over $6 and soybeans in the eights, do we start to see then, you know, that shift where we lose bean acres into wheat? That'll be a story that we'll be focusing on as we go forward. And, you know, with that, let's segue into soybeans. You know, I could make the case right now for soy. We're at about a little bit over $9. $10 soybeans, $8 soybeans. It would not surprise me in the least bit if it went a buck higher or a buck lower between the now and the end of the year. And the reason being, if nothing gets with China, that's done with China, and we have a 50 or a 51 yield, we're going to have a huge carryout. We're going to have a 600, 700 million bushel carryout. And yeah, and then in that point, like during harvest and those huge balance sheets and no exports from China, we make another run at $8. If the crop isn't as good, you know, I mean, and if we get some hot and dry weather in August, that's not good for soybeans at all. You know, we could have yields be, you know, lower than the trade is thinking. And let's say something does get done with China. You know, let's say the U.S. basically makes progress with NAFTA, and they make progress with the EU, and all of a sudden those trade deals are done between, let's say, now and in midterms. All of a sudden they're coming back, you know, with China, and, you know, it's November and December, and things start really getting hammered out with China. If that should happen, then, you know, why not soybeans at $10? So I think soybeans are very difficult. I think that's, I mean, we got a raw deal this year. You know, the U.S. is not. Let me figure out a good way to phrase this. I think when it comes to the U.S. and these trade deals, like, yes, on one side, the U.S. thinks that they've been getting not the best deal in NAFTA or with Europe, and they want to, I would say, tweak some things. I think with China, it comes down to intellectual property. And that really is the big major cause and what needs to change for the United States to get back on regular trade negotiations with China. And unfortunately, agriculture is just only a part of that. And we're not going to see soybeans really fully come back until that gets dealt with. And unfortunately, soybeans and agriculture isn't the priority. It is going to be intellectual property. And hopefully that just gets sorted out sooner rather than later. So soybeans are going to probably be the last to come around. And again, that could delay well into next year. And if it does, we make a run at 8. If for some time between now and the end of December, a deal gets done, we can go to 10. And also then you got to figure in this hot and dry weather in August can impact things too. I do think even if soybeans trades in the low 8s, we could still see $4 corn and we can still be above $6, which would really be something else because that is not how the price ratios have been in the past, but this is definitely a different year and it's certainly there's certainly no reason why it can happen given some of the scenarios we've talked about. So that's how we're going to treat that. So in terms of marketing with farmers, we get up to $3.90, $4 in these corn. There's going to be seller recommendations. I know I'm going to be doing it in Turner Steak Ag Marketing. All the other newsletter writers and, gurus and commentators out there that write newsletters like I do for marketing are going to be doing the same thing. You really kind of have to. We only sold 40% going into right before, the markets came down because of the whole China thing. And no one sold enough, whether you're a farmer, you're a newsletter writer, you're a broker, you're a consultant. And I think we get that chance again. We'll be catching up a lot, especially in the old crop, and probably pricing new crop and hedging new crop too. I can see that. With wheat, there's so much wheat out there. You would got to think that it depends on the basis, but as wheat keeps on going higher, and I think we're going to see some rallies in the fall here and into the winter, as basically Russia and Ukraine don't have enough wheat to export and we have to come to the United States to get exports done. I think the farmers going to have a really good chance to start clearing out some stuff. So I know for me, we're going to be more active making cash sale recs for wheat. Right now, December, Kansas City's above 6. I think the soft red wheat is like 5.90. Those are times to make sales. You've got to do something in the cash market. Even if we think it's going to go higher, which I do, but look what happened in April. We thought corn and soybeans were going higher too, after what happened in South America and then you get right out of left field, the U.S. and China. There are some things you just never know. So you might as well make some sales here. I'm not saying do the whole thing, but you got to do something if you're a farmer. And that's where we are. So we're going to see what happens on the WASD on Friday. And then we'll send out a newsletter update and a podcast either after those reports come out or over the weekend. And we'll see what happens. I'm pretty bullish on corn, not for the report so much, but long term. Same with wheat. We'll just have to see with beans. It's going to be interesting next year. And just consider this. We're going to probably see a big acreage increase in South America because the beans are going for about a 20% premium over U.S., which is nice. So that's going to be at the expense of corn. And then look at where wheat prices are right now. And we're going to see more wheat acres, probably taken away from soybeans, but not going to corn. So soybean acres, they may go to corn. They may go to, but I think we might see a lot more go to wheat. So I think the corn farmer might win out here in the acreage in terms of prices and acres. But we'll see. That's the initial thought. So anyways, if everyone is interested in working with us on the spec side or the hedge side, online trading or broker-assisted or our most popular category here is the hybrid, which is a mix of both. Feel free to contact us anytime. All my contact information is in the show notes on this podcast and also at the website at turnerstake.com or turnerstakeag.com. And finally, thank you for everyone who listens. If you do have some time and can take a listen and go to iTunes, if you like the podcast, any kind of positive review helps us grow the audience, allows for the resources for me to keep on doing this each week. And if you know anyone who likes these kind of podcasts, please recommend it. That'd be fantastic. So thanks for listening. Thanks for continuing to listen, and have a great week. Hopefully we will be able to talk again after the WASI. Thanks.
This material is conveyed as a solicitation for entering into a derivatives transaction. This material has been prepared by a Daniels trading broker who provides research market commentary and trade recommendations as part of his or her solicitation for accounts and solicitation for trades. Daniels Trading, its principals, brokers, and employees may trade in derivatives for their own accounts or for the accounts of others. Due to various factors such as risk tolerance, margin requirements, trading objectives, short-term versus long-term strategies, technical versus fundamental market analysis, and other factors, such trading may result in the initiation or liquidation of positions that are different from or contrary to the opinions and recommendations contained therein. Past performance is not necessarily indicative of future performance. The risk of loss in trading futures contracts or commodity options can be substantial, and therefore investors should understand the risks involved in taking leveraged positions and must assume responsibility for the risks associated with such investments and for their results. You should carefully consider whether such trading is suitable for you in light of your circumstances and financial resources. You should read the risk disclosure accessed at www.danielstrading.com. Daniels Trading is not affiliated with, nor does it endorse any trading system, newsletter, or similar service. Daniels Trading does not guarantee or verify any performance claims made by such systems or services.